Good morning. God is good. Amen. I want to welcome you guys again to Christ Community Church. Feel welcome. Well, today we're going to be preaching on Thanksgiving, right? We talked about this. This is a two-part series we talked about last week. We started already with how God wants us to be thankful. We have so much to be thankful for. And we're continuing and closing this message today. And the message title is called Heart of Gratitude. Heart of Gratitude. And we talked about it last week. We said, listen, when you're living your life, right, oftentimes we compare. Don't we look around? Don't we live in a culture where we're always looking, right? We're never quite always satisfied with what we have, with what God has provided, because we always want what? We always want more. Or you want that more, you want that one thing, you get it, and then guess what happens? You're like, oh, well, now I want that one, right? And so we always want more. But today, we're going to be focusing on what does it mean to have a heart of gratitude and for God and all that He's done for us, which reminds me of a story, right? The story. There was a man that he was kind of lonely. His kids had moved out of the house. His wife had unfortunately passed away, and he was kind of lonely, so he was talking to his friend. And his friend gave him some advice and said, hey, you know what? Maybe you should get like an animal pet. And he's like, well, I don't want to have a dog because they're a little bit too much, more high maintenance. So he decided to go buy he was online on OfferUp. He finds a talking cockatoo. You guys know what a cockatoo is? Yes, you know what it is? All right. So, because he says, at least you can talk. I'll train him. I'll do different things. So if you don't know what that is, how many of you guys have watched the movie Rio? It's the white bird, the bad guy, Nigel. That's a cockatoo, right? Just so you know. So he ends up goes to the store and he finds the bird. He teaches it how to talk. But then, you know, sometimes animals, don't they have like their own personalities? Like you have some really nice, like you get some nice dogs and some dogs that are mean or some birds that are nice. His bird had a bad attitude, right? So, and so ultimately he would actually talk to it, but the bird had a latitude with it. Like he would kind of, you know, give him a hard time with different things. And apparently someone was teaching him how to say different things on the side because the bird would tell him like, you're so ugly. You're so fat. You're so lazy. And so it was the opposite, right? The bird was actually making him feel even like more depressed and angry. And so he used to have like these arguments with the talking cockatoo, right? And so one day after they had a big argument, he said, that's it. I'm sick and tired of you, stupid bird, right? He grabs the bird and he throws him in the freezer. And then he could hear the cockatoo like making noise, squawking and doing all kinds of stuff, right? And so he walks away, says, I'm just going to leave you in there until you learn your lesson. 5 minutes go by and he can still hear the cockatoo like making noise and squawking, right? And he says, and he starts to get worried, but he said, no, he hasn't learned his lesson. 5 minutes go by and it's a little quieter, but still he could hear the squawking or whatever. And then it gets silence. 10 minutes have gone by, right? And he's like, oh my gosh, bird is frozen. So he runs over to the freezer and he opens the freezer and he sees the cockatoo and the cockatoo kind of fluffs his feathers, walks out, looks the guy in the face and says, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry for the way I've been behaving. I'm sorry for my bad attitude. And I'm sorry for all the times that I put you down. I will do better from now on. Will you please accept my apology? The man looks at the bird and he's like, what the heck? What's going on? But before he could say anything else, the cockatoo says, but I have one question to ask you. What did the chicken do to you? Did you get it? What did the chicken do to you? See, what happened with the cockatoo is he needed a frame of reference, right? That things could always be worse, right? He turned out that he actually had it pretty good. The master, his owner was feeding him, was taking care of him, was doing all kinds of nice things for him. And he's like, whoa, I need to slow my roll, right? Because look at what happened to the chicken, right? Listen, in our life, sometimes we have a choice to make. That cockatoo had a choice to make. He could have been the entire time been really thankful, shown gratitude for his master for all that he had done. But it wasn't until he was put in a different position, right? So here's my thing to you. This morning, you get to choose. Are you going to have a heart of gratitude and be thankful? Or are you going to wait for things to happen in your life where you have to say, God kind of gets your attention to say, no, I really should be thankful. I don't know about you, but I don't want to find myself in the freezer either. Amen? God is gracious. He's good. So anyway, if you get a talking bird, now you know, and it starts talking back, now you know what to do. Today we're going to be reading out of Psalms 100. So if you have your Bible there, we're going to turn there to Psalm 100. Because this is all about worship and praise and thanksgiving. This message is all about that. But if you have your handout today, the first fill in the blank and the first point that we're going to cover is that as believers, we should express gratitude to God for the victories He has given us. Victory over sin, our daily provision, and our daily mercies. So the fill in the blank there is gratitude and daily mercies. And we always say we fill it in, right? Because if you don't write it down, you forget. That's why you have a to-do list. And if you don't write anything down from this message, by Tuesday, you'll have forgotten the message altogether. So it's important that we, I would say, exercise the motor skills and try to memorize some of the things. Plus, you can hang this on your fridge and read the messages, right? There'll be no cockatoos in your freezer, maybe. You can at least read the scripture for the day. So, Psalm 100. Psalm 100 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name, for the Lord is good. And He endures, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen? Man, that's awesome. We could just read that again, and then we could be done. We can go eat, right? Pretty self-explanatory. But no, we're going to jump through it. Because the first thing that we want, that we read from the scripture, is that, man, we should have joy in our hearts, right? We know who God is, and number one, that God knows us. Amen? We should have joy in our hearts. Shout for joy, all the earth, right? Now, I know right now it's football season, right? So where are my 49er fans at? All right. Where are my Raider fans at? All right. I know. Yeah. I know, man. I'm always cheering for the Raiders. I watch a lot of Raider football, but man, come on, let's get it together. I'm saying the same thing for the Niners right now. Where are my Cowboy fans at? All right. Man, you know what? We're going to have a prayer meeting afterwards because our teams are not doing that good right now. But you would say, shout for joy, right? When you go to a game, and I always say, like, listen, you know, you don't get, okay. I'm a Bills fan. I had my heart broken 4 times. My brother's a Bengals fan, right? God knew what he was doing. He said, I'm going to need these two guys to pray like nothing else because their teams are terrible. No, we're having a good season, but every year it's like Patrick Mahomes is like, he breaks my heart, you know? I'm telling you. But shout for joy. When you go to a game, though, right? It doesn't matter if your team's doing well. Don't you feel excited to be there? Don't you feel like, oh, man, my team's like there. Yeah, right there. You know, you're excited. Even if your team's not doing great, you shout for joy. Where are my Taylor Swift fans at? All right, two of you guys. And there's some secret Swifties in here, too. Don't worry. Secret Swiftie fans. Listen, when you go to the concert, aren't you like, oh, yeah. Taylor Swift. I don't know. She's not like, it's not my jam. Like, I know one song from Taylor Swift. I'm not going to sing it though right now. You guys are tempting me, but I'm not going to sing it. It's not a worship song. And I was about to do it and I changed my mind. I can't do it. I will never live it down if I sing a Taylor Swift song for me. But isn't it exciting when you're there, right? Yeah, you know, you're singing your songs. Or it's a true story. I've been to 5 NSYNC concerts in my life. I know all the songs. I've been to like 4 different Backstreet Boys songs. I'm going to own it. It's exciting to be there, like live with the people. You're your fan, right? You celebrate it. So listen, what this scripture is saying is like, man, the same excitement that you have when you go see your favorite team, your favorite artist, man, why don't you have that kind of excitement for God? Amen? Because God is good. Shout for joy, all the earth, right? Because what? We have so much to praise Him for. Worship the Lord with gladness. Be thankful, right, for all of His provision. And listen, you have, I don't care who you are. Every one of us in here has a recent win in our life. Every single one of us has gone through a struggle, a storm, a trial. But guess what? You're here. And God is good, right? So we have reason to celebrate. Maybe our teams are not winning the Super Bowl, but I would say, listen, when you have Jesus and God in your life, man, you are winning. Right? Not only just here on earth, but eternally we are winning, right? So we have a lot of reason to celebrate. Number two, we're called to worship God daily, right? And that comes from an overflow from a grateful heart. So daily worship of God overflows from a grateful heart. Overflow from a grateful heart. See, when you're thankful, you're excited about somebody, don't you want to run and tell somebody? Or do you keep it a secret? You usually want to tell somebody, right? You got a promotion, you got engaged, you're having a baby, you got a new car, you got a new house, you got a new something. Don't you want to share that good news with somebody? You do, right? Because we're grateful, we're thankful, we're appreciative of what it is, so we want to share the good news. In the same way, right? God is asking us to come before Him with a thankful heart, a heart that is overflowing with gratitude. Because ultimately, right, literally, let me ask you a question. Have people in your life that before you even show up and you see them, you're like, oh, no, there they are. Oh, no, I don't want to. Oh. Because you have people, I call these people, they suck the life out of you, right? Don't they, like, do you have suckers in your life? Do you know what I mean? Like you show up and like, oh my gosh, here's something. It's just the negative, the worst thing that's going to happen. You're like, oh my gosh, they're going to suck all the life out of me. Those people suck. They do. They suck the life out of you. You have them in your life, yeah? Now, if the person is sitting next to you, don't just like blink three times. No, I'm kidding. We're going to pray for you. We're going to pray extra hard. No, see, the people are fighting in the back now. Oh, man. I didn't want to. He didn't blink, sister. He didn't blink at all. I was watching his eyes. He was just, no matter what I do, I will not blink right now. No, you have people in your life that, man, they're kind of draining, aren't they? You kind of like, you show up, you might be in the best mood and they're like, oh, how's it going? Let me tell you how it's going. It's this problem and that problem. Or my favorite, right? What's my favorite? My brother knows. How you doing, Dad? You know, here, just waiting to die. It's very dramatic, isn't it? Like, I don't know. There's no secret, you know. You have people that are kind of like looked that way. But listen, we have a lot to be thankful for, right? We worship God and bring more gladness. Because if you're in a positive mood, if you're worshiping God, if you're grateful with your life, shouldn't it change? It has to change your outlook. If you wake up grateful, even the small things, when it's cold outside, I wake up and I'd say, thank you, God, for this fluffy blanket. It is amazing. I'm serious because, I have problems like you have problems. Who has problems in here? We have a problem, right? All of us have problems. Oh, my God. We're going to have the marriage counseling class sign up in the back today. No, because listen what? Like, life is hard, guys. But you can choose whether you're going to focus on all the little things that you don't have, all the problems, all these things, or you can choose to look at what? The positives that you have in your life. Be grateful for what you have. Right? So I do start I'm not kidding you guys. I'm like, thank you, God, for this fluffy blanket. You are awesome. And then I start with more, you know. But I have to start somewhere, right? I'm just being serious. We have a lot to be thankful for. And when you have a grateful heart, it leads to worship. It leads to worship. Amen? Now, number three, we thank God because He made us and we belong to Him. We thank God because He made us and we belong to Him. That's it out of verse 3. And it says, know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us. We are His and His people, the sheep of His pasture. Right? And so you guys always know, right? John, in the book of John, chapter 10, Jesus describes Himself as the good shepherd. He cares for His sheep. We are made in God's image and in His likeness. And He knows each one of us by name, right? Isn't it feel good to be known? When you're in a crowd of people, like have you ever been in a place where you don't know anybody? And then you know that one person, you know that one person. Does that make sense? It feels nice, right? We want to belong. And so this is a reminder, right? That God, we belong to God. We're made to worship Him. And He provides for us. here's the thing. In a practical way, we always say, when you have to also know that you are important and you're valuable, you're known by God, and that you're loved by God. And you have to remind yourself of that every single day. You know why? Because the world will tell you what? The opposite. You're not good enough. You're not talented enough. You look a certain way. Like for me, I look in the mirror and it's like, you don't have any hair. You know, look at your, this used to be all dark and look, it's all white now. True story. I was like, we were shopping around. I was like, can we get some of that Just for Men? Because it's looking like, I look like I'm 60, you know? But no, God, what? He cares for us. He knows us. He loves us. The world will tell you the opposite, that we're not enough. Now, how do you know that God loves you? How do you know that God loves you? Because you're valuable. Now here, how do you know? You wake up every morning, right? But in a practical way too, how do you know when the value of something? You sacrifice, right? It's usually, it costs, there's value. How do you guys figure out value? For example, when you buy a house, how many of you guys have bought a house and gone through that process where you go through and look at a property, and then somebody comes on site and they take the measurements of the house, they ask you 10,000 questions, they tell you what's the roof, what's the stuff, it's called an appraisal, right? And then they come back a week later and say, the house is worth this much, right? Or when you buy a car, there's that Kelley Blue Book or Show Me the Carfax or the Carfax, right? And they say, oh, here's all these features and it's worth this much, right? Now, that tells you how much value it is, how much somebody should pay for it. Now, to my sister's point, how do you know that you're valuable to God? Because he sent his son to die. Sinner's death, a miserable death on the cross for every single one of us in here. That tells you that that's valuable. I would look at you guys and I would say, man, if I had to sacrifice one of my kids for you guys are on your own. I mean that. I don't love the way that God loves, right? But God loves that way. He loves unconditionally. And not just, I always say when we read John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world, right? And it's very, when you see it generic, okay, I get it. But when you replace that and say, for God so loved Stephanie, for God so loved Jasmine, for God so loved Joey, God so loved you and me, that he sent his only begotten son, right, that whoever believes shall not perish but have everlasting life, that changes everything. Because that means that I'm valuable, that part of the Godhead would come down. And we talked about it because we're looking at Christmas. And be God and man at the same time and give his life as a ransom for my salvation, for the forgiveness of my sins. Guess what? That tells me that we are valuable to God. Amen? And so we have to give thanks and praise because he made us and we belong to him. Number 4, God is worthy of our praise every day and he deserves our best. God is worthy of our praise every day. And he deserves our best. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with high praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. Now, how many of you guys are you guys going to watch the new Gladiator 2 movie? You're going to watch it? It's rated R, sister. Shame on you. I'm kidding. That was a trick. No, we only go to those stuff for social experiments. Sister, I'm here. I'm with you. No, of course. I love the first movie. It's the very first movie that I ever owned on a DVD. It was Gladiator, the first one. That's how old we are. But no, what I was going with that is in the ancient Roman times, right? That's the place people would go in through. The big gates, right? And the king sat on a big court. And so it was important that you, when you entered the court of the king, right, kind of came with reverence. You couldn't just walk in. Not any single person could just walk into the presence of the king, right? You had to have access. It's like for the people that, you know, there's like the VIP, the little velvet rope, the VIP, you can get to go in, right? And so when you come before the courts, even before God, there's a key that's here. What is the password? What's the secret password? Or how many of you guys watch those mobster movies where there's somebody like a, yeah, that's not, no, no, it's not a trick question this time. She's like, nope, I've never watched those movies. I'm not falling for that one. Very good, sister, good. You passed. You passed. No, but when you watch those movies, isn't there usually like a scene where they're like hanging out and it's like where all the crime bosses are and somebody goes in, it's like a dark alley and you're like, they knock and the little thing, yes, he's out there. Right? My brother has one of those doors. And you're like, he's out there. You know what I'm talking about? And you have to have the password, huh? What's the password? And then they say the password, Esqueleto Forever. No? Yes? Some kind of password. Not that one. That's the Nacho Libre password. But something that's like, oh, so-and-so sent me, you know. And then that's how they get access into that secret private place, right? Now, what we're reading the scripture says, man, what is the password to come into the presence of God? It tells you right there in verse 4. It says, right, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving and a heart of gratitude is how you can get into the presence of God daily, right? Because listen, I always said this, if you come around somebody with a bad attitude that's going to be nagging and complaining all the time, all they do is whine and complain, do you want that person in your presence? I don't. That's why I tell my kids, if you're going to be nagging and complaining, no, go kick rock. I don't say that. I don't. I love my kids. But if your kids come before you and all they do is nag and complain, does it make you feel like, oh, yes, come on in? No, right? No. On the flip side of that, when your kids are super nice, Dad, what can I do for you? Can I help you out? And it's like, okay, what do you want? But no, when we come with thanksgiving is a key, allows us to come before God's presence. Amen? We have so much to be thankful for. We do. Number four. We need to praise God because his love endures forever and he is always faithful. We need to praise God because his love endures forever and he is always faithful. The Lord is good. Amen. And he loves us and his faithfulness continues right through generations. That's verse 5. There's no slide for number 5. Repeat the filling. What? Okay. We need to praise God because his love endures forever and he is always faithful. His love endures forever and he is always faithful. My wife just gave me a little card that says, you messed up on your sermon prep. Right. I'm still thankful for my wife. She keeps me honest, right? Everybody needs, like, you need a helper. It's like, hey, you're messing up. Thank you. Praise God. See, guys, that's a little message for the men. When our wives point out our flaws, he's trying to help us. And I love you for it. I do. I know. The men are like, I'm not coming back here again. No, it's all good. So number 5 was we need to praise God because his love endures forever. And he is always faithful. And again, that's right out of verse 5 itself. It says, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations, right? Listen, one of the things that we can look forward to as older, I know, it's like I don't have any hair. I wish I had hair. I used to love to blow dry it. I don't have it anymore. I don't have the good genes, you know. I'm over that. As I get older, you know what I'm looking forward to? I'm looking forward to being at my kids' wedding. I'm looking forward to take care of the grandkids. I'm looking forward to getting old with my wife, you know. Like, I'm looking forward, right? Because listen, the older that I get, the more I see that, like, this life is but a vapor, right? James tells me, your life is, you're here 1 minute and it's gone the next. And the older that we get, right, the more that we realize that, you know what? Man, we got to be thankful and appreciative for the things that really matter in our life. When we get old, and even when we're in the casket and we die, no one's going to say, like, oh, man, look at his car. It was always clean, or the house was a certain way, or for myself, he wrote the best emails at work. I mean, it was just awesome. Nobody's going to say that. But they will say, right? What will they say? It's about how we value the people that we love, how we provided and we cared for them. And at the end of the day, right, that's what we're looking for. Now, what's really awesome about our God is he says, you know what? His faithfulness endures generations. His faithfulness and love endures forever. You know, I've been telling you guys, like, you know, I'm trying to get a little healthier because my motivation is to say, I want to see Christian. He's my youngest son, and I'd like to see his youngest child. That's just my own. And that's my little thing, right? Or Lily's Lily, but Christian's younger than you. You get it. God's love endures generations. I know those of us that, I would say, we love our kids. We want to see them, right, in the eternal resting place with us. And also, right, their kids. We have God's promise that tells us right there. He says that his love is good. His love endures forever, and his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. I don't know about you guys, but we have so much to be thankful to God for because he's unchanging. The time that we live in, the people that we live in, all these things come and go, but God is faithful forever. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we come before you in the name of your Son, Jesus, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the reminder, Lord, of what we have in you, that we have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to be thankful for life. We are thankful for the forgiveness of our sins. We are thankful for the love that you have for us, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that we might know you and have a way back to a good and perfect and awesome God. Lord, we don't deserve that. We deserve justice, and we deserve wrath, but you, Lord, you exchange it with mercy. Lord, we're saved only by faith in you, Lord Jesus. So thank you again, Lord, for the love that you have for us. Thank you that your love for us endures forever, that your faithfulness endures through generations, Lord God. And Lord God, I know right now, in a room with this many people in here, inevitably somebody that's going through something. But we all have our go-through, Lord God, but we know that you are the God that provides. You are the God that provides victory. Lord God, so if there's somebody that is facing an issue today, Lord God, will you meet them at their need and remind them of your goodness? Lord, will you remind them, Lord God, that oftentimes you tell us to let you have the battle because the victory will be yours. You tell us to stop and just to be still and to know that you are God. And when we're in that struggle, we're in the middle of it, Lord, you want us to let go. We do. We're not in control. We are not sovereign, but you are. And when we come to the end of ourselves is where you begin. Lord God, I just pray for a spirit of humility. I would pray that we would all of us humble ourselves and cast our burdens upon you and allow you to be God. For us just to be loved by you, to be encouraged by you, and to get through these things. We know this life is short, but with our faith in you, Lord God, you are the one that provides. So, Lord God, meet us where we are this morning, Lord. And I just pray again, Lord, that if there's somebody that doesn't know who you are, Lord, Holy Spirit, will you continue to knock on their heart? Continue to knock on their heart and allow them and ask to come in. Lord God, we know that in the gospel, in the New Testament, there's not the Lord's Prayer or there's not the sinner's prayer. Lord, there are sinners that do pray to you for repentance, Lord God. So that is our prayer daily, Lord God, that every one of us, Lord, would get right and confess our sins to you daily, Lord God, because your mercies are renewed for us daily. Lord, thank you again for your continued to do in our life. Continue to watch over our family, over our home, over our church, Lord God. Bring healing over our brothers and sisters that are going through need some recovery, Lord. Thank you again for who you are, Lord. And I just pray again that you would watch over us, that you would guide us, keep us safe. And Lord God, help us to approach your throne always with gratitude, always with thankfulness. And Lord God, you're the one that wants us to bring our burdens to you, Lord God, and we can cast them upon your feet because you are the one that provides. So thank you again for this morning, for speaking to us, for loving us, Lord God. And I just pray that every person that is here would be encouraged and lifted up by your word, Lord God, that we would know that you are God and that you are good. Watch over us as we come upon this Thanksgiving week, Lord. Keep us safe, but help us to give thanks to you every single morning, regardless of our situation, regardless of our circumstance. You are God and you are good. Heavenly Father, I also pray that you would bless this food that we're going to have this morning, that you would bless it and you would allow the nutrients to nourish us, Lord God, to accomplish the will that you have for our life. That you would bless our fellowship, bless our conversation, and that you would just bless even our in your presence, Lord God, that we continue to build bonds and laugh and joy, Lord God, because that's what you intended. In the body of believers, Lord God, there's meant to be joy and laughter and fellowship. So, Lord God, bless our time together, Lord. Thank you again for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.